അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹജനരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം. സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീ വിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനേ. ശ്രീ വർഷഭാനവീ ദേവി ദൈവായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിദേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ. മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാഗ്നേ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദാ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്ത ദ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ. നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പദാംഭുജായതേ നമഃ. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപാനുഗവരായതേ. ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദ്ദോഷ്ട സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ. വംശകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിജേ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തസാത്വികം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാ കാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതാം സുരഗൗപാംഗോ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്യ പദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൗ ശ്രീമന്ത്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാശ്രീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്നാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിതാഃ കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേ സ്തുനാഃ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചനഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീരാധികായ നമ. സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് നിമായ്സ് ചൈൽഡ്ഹുഡ് ബർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ദി ചൈൽഡ്ഹുഡ് a few things what happened during the childhood. Actually, it is very difficult to discuss. There's a lot more information and a lot more pastimes on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood. And we haven't got so much time to discuss all that. So therefore, we have to go through as the time allows us to do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we saw then, that he went to Gangadas Ji's school, Padashala as it was called then, and he became very serious as a student. So out of the 48 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time in this planet, in this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24. And the time between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to school at Gangadas Ji's school, and from then on, right up to the age of 24, there were so much activities in preaching Krishna consciousness, in what is known as Bangladesh today, and also in Bengal. And at the same time, Mahaprabhu was also laying the foundation for preaching the holy name on a worldwide basis. You can see that many great personalities arrived at Mahaprabhu's feet and took shelter from Mahaprabhu at that time. Mahaprabhu, being Krishna himself, has shown so much compassion to the people who came and who were also going through difficult times in their life. And among them, there were great, great personalities like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and so many others, Surup Damodar, and all of them. They all had the good fortune of associating so closely with Mahaprabhu that they were all benefited considerably in that spirit of time. But Mahaprabhu is beyond this world. He does not belong to this world. Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So naturally, being the a preacher of Krishna consciousness, presenting the Vedic tradition in its entirety, Mahaprabhu chose the path of sannyasam, which is the highest position for a personality who wants to be situated in the Vedic tradition. So Mahaprabhu decided to leave home and to take to the sannyasa ashram at the age of 24. So what we find from then on, that the next 6 years, from 24 to 30 years, Mahaprabhu traveled to all the holy places in India. And during that time, he also had he had various reasons for these travels. We will come to that. Why Mahaprabhu decided to go on this preaching mission. And also, Mahaprabhu wanted to revive this process of Krishna consciousness among the people. So Mahaprabhu's mission begins in reality from that age of 24, because it is then that he decided to move out of Jagannath Puri and start traveling to all the places. So today we are going to discuss that Mahaprabhu's 6 years of travel. And after the 6 years of travel, Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri and spent the rest of the 18 years in Jagannath Puri. In that time, Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu spent all the time, almost most of the time, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with his devotees. This was Mahaprabhu's life in Jagannath Puri. And during that discussions with the devotees, particularly Surup Damodar, Amananda Roy, and so many other great personalities, Mahaprabhu experienced such a high transcendental mood by reading and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is what makes us more attracted to these pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. We'll come to that on next Sunday. But today we will see what Mahaprabhu started doing from Jagannath Puri. It was in the month of January, February that Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri. That is what we find from the history. So when he arrived there in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu had no clear indication. Mahaprabhu hasn't given any clear indication of what he was going to do in Jagannath Puri. So in the period of February and March that year, Mahaprabhu took sannyasa ashram. He decided, that is also another full topic to discuss. All these are individual topics on its own, which takes a long time to discuss. And in that time, Mahaprabhu, in that February and March period, Mahaprabhu took sannyas while on his way to Jagannath Puri. So he took sannyas from a great sannyasi by name Keshava Bharati, who came in the Shankaracharya's tradition. So sometimes we do not understand why Mahaprabhu, being so much opposing the philosophy of Shankaracharya, why he took sannyas from that tradition. And not only that, he has also taken sannyas from Keshava Bharati, but apart from that also, Mahaprabhu's many activities are sometimes difficult to understand. Although Mahaprabhu and the impersonalist philosophy didn't agree with each other, because both of them came from the Vedic tradition, they are all both from descending from the Vedic system, that they have no enmity in each other. We have to understand. We have our mind, which is, because it is subjected to this understanding, that everything we see black and white, but they don't see like that. And we have no right to criticize the acharyas who have appeared in the other traditions as well. We haven't got the right to do that. Because as devotees, our position is always to respect them, all of them, because they all have some role in Mahaprabhu's pastimes in this world. We may philosophically disagree with many things, but on the other hand, because they follow the same tradition, they come from Krishna's instructions, they follow. At the same time, they may not be all pure devotees of Krishna, but at the same time, they were all associates of Mahaprabhu. Anyway, Mahaprabhu took sannyasam from Keshava Bharati, went to Jagannath Puri, and Jagannath Puri, he lived in February, March time, he was there. And it was in Jagannath Puri that in the next month what happened was his discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya at that time was a great scholar who lived in, particularly he was a learned personality in the process of, in the science of logic. Logic is one aspect of the Shastra which is important to know, because it is through logic that you argue with the others. So on the strength of this logic, he was able to study there in Jagannath Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was teaching, and by Krishna's arrangement, Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with each other through one of the relatives of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, known as Gopinath Acharya. So, and it is that long discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya which becomes a topic of its own in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, but because we don't have so much time to discuss that, we'll just go through that. We'll say that Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee of Krishna, understood the importance of Krishna consciousness by discussing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you will see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came later on in his different pastimes after 6 years of travel and coming back to Jagannath Puri again. So Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then after that, in the next month, in the April-May period, Mahaprabhu decided to travel. So that is when the travel begins, the travels to the holy places. Why did Mahaprabhu decide to travel? Mahaprabhu has various reasons which is attributed to that. Various reasons are attributed to Mahaprabhu's journey to the south as well as to the west. So Mahaprabhu had been planning in his mind that as a sannyasi it's necessary that one do not get attached to any place. This is to show the world how one should act in this world. That as a sannyasi, he should have no attachment. And if he is comfortably situated in Jagannath Puri, people will think about him. It is not a good example for others to follow. So to teach them a lesson, that in sannyasa ashram, because why sannyasa ashram is considered the topmost position in the spiritual line, in the varnashrama system, is because a sannyasi has no relationship in this world. All the relations are finished. The only relative sannyasi has is Krishna. And it is depending on Krishna, and dependence on Krishna is the thing that keeps that person going in this world. That is the correct understanding of the sannyasa ashram. And in the sannyasa mantra also, when it's given to the sannyasis, these are the things very explicitly told to them. But When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he wanted to show to the world that sannyasa ashram is not a cheap thing. It's a very, very serious affair. And to act properly in sannyasa ashram, one has to follow certain processes, and one of them is to not to get attached to any place, but constantly traveling and helping people in Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu decided to leave. So when he decided to leave, by now Mahaprabhu had so many associates with him who also wanted to travel with him. This is the problem. This is a big problem, because when sannyasi makes disciples, when they make disciples, the disciples' first desire is to be with the guru. Or when they're with the guru, and then the guru start moving around with all these disciples. These things are not considered to be good from the point of view of the Shastra. Reason being that a sannyasi has no connection in this material world. And on a spiritual relationship, these things are not allowed. It is considered to be not proper to do that. So knowing very well, Mahaprabhu refused everybody who could go with him. He was very firm on that, that a personality who has been so compassionate to others, when it came to the question of following the principles are concerned, Mahaprabhu always stuck with the law, he never changed it. Because if Mahaprabhu changes that, the rest of the world will also do the same thing. So because of this reason, Mahaprabhu decided and said no even to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who wanted to travel with him. Eventually, out of pressure from Lord Nityananda and others, Mahaprabhu accepted one Brahmana to go with him just for helping out his cooking, as well as to look after him, to assist him as an assistant. He traveled with him, a Brahmachari. So Brahmacharis are allowed to go, but only with the understanding that Brahmachari is not going to go with him to instruct him what to do, but rather just in the mode of service and to get that benefit from the associating with the sannyasi and training the Brahmachari for his life in the future, how to make progress in when he wants to become a sannyasi. He learns from him that this is the process to follow. So with all this understanding, Mahaprabhu took one devotee with him, one assistant with him, and they started the journey. What were the reasons for this travel? There are four or five different reasons attributed to Mahaprabhu's traveling to the south of India. The first one was that when everybody insisted, that they wanted to accompany Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's first point was that he was going to search out for his brother who left home earlier. Vishwarupa, his elder brother, has left home, took sannyas ashram, and went to South India. That was the information they had. So Mahaprabhu said to them that I am traveling to South looking for my brother Shankararanya. Vishwarupa has become Shankararanya, a sannyasi, and he wanted to meet him and to invite him back to come to Navadvip. That was one of the purposes of traveling to South. He mentioned this to his close associates in Jagannath Puri. When he mentioned this to them, they all wanted to help him to find Shankararanya, his brother Vishwarupa. But Mahaprabhu refused. He said, no, I will find out where he is, and someday if I find him, I'll bring him back to Navadvip. It was on this understanding, one of the reasons given that Mahaprabhu has given to leave Jagannath Puri to travel to the South India. In addition to that, there are three more reasons. Mahaprabhu, being a Vaishnava, like Krishna himself, Mahaprabhu wanted to meet those devotees of the other Vaishnava Acharyas. For example, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Swami, and Madhvacharya, they have appeared and they have propagated Vaishnavism before. And from Ramanujacharya, Sri Vaishnavism has come. And Nimbarka Acharya, and from Madhvacharya, and from Vishnu Swami, the Vaishnava tradition has spread all over South to quite a large degree. And all of them came from Dravida Desha, from the South. So because of that, Mahaprabhu wanted to see their traditions, and listening to them and experiencing their realizations on Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu wanted to discuss with them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness with these different traditions. So this was one of the reasons why Mahaprabhu went straight away to Dravidesham to present state of Tamil Nadu. And then Mahaprabhu had other reasons as well. In addition to that, Mahaprabhu also knew that Bhakti Devi was born in Dravidesham. Bhakti Devi's birth is in Dravidesham. It is where this process of devotion has developed very strongly. In other words, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find, while referring to the Puranas, in the Padma Puranam reference to that, the story of Bhakti Devi is mentioned. That Ulpanne Dravide Deshe, that is where she was born. And because she was born there, naturally the people had inclination to follow her very seriously. And therefore, the Krishna consciousness, what they had developed in the Dravidesham was very pleasing for Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. He wanted to experience that devotion in their heart by personally visiting them. This is another reason. But beyond all these three reasons, there was another major reason what has taken Mahaprabhu to there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read, there is an incident where the nine sages, nine children of Maharaj Rishabhadev, discussing the different topics related to Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna consciousness, what is Krishna consciousness? This discussion started between Sri Narada Muni and Vasudeva Maharaj. Krishna's father, Vasudeva and Devaki, one day had discussed with Sri Narada Muni what is Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dharma. So this Bhagavata Dhamma was presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Ekadasa Skandam you will find this. That the Sri Narada Muni was questioned by Vasudev, what is Bhagavata Dharma? In reply to that, Sri Narada Muni said to Vasudev that although among the authorities on Bhagavata Dharma, Sri Narada Muni has the second place. The first place is Lord Brahma. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kamilo Manu Prahlado Janago Bhishma Velim Vayasagir Vayam. That is how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So after Swayambhu, Lord Brahma, the next is Narada Muni. But Narada Muni knows what is Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness. But Narada Muni never said to Vasudev that I will tell you what I know. No. He said that I will tell you what I heard in another instance when the nine yogis came to the assembly of Janaka Maharaj where a discussion happened. That is how he presents it. This is Narada Muni's humility. That on his own, not that he does not know, he knows enough about Krishna consciousness and he had the full authority to talk about Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dhamma, but he never said once that I know everything. No. He said, I will tell you what I heard in this assembly of King Janaka, where Janaka Maharaj and these nine children of Rishabhadev, Kavir Hari Yandariksha, Prabuddha Pipalayanam, Avar Hotros Chadrumina, Chamasak Karabhajana. These are the nine sages who came to that assembly of King Janaka. And in that Janaka's discussion with these nine sages, nine questions were raised by King Janaka. And nine sages have answered those questions. This comes in the Ekadasha Skandam in the 11th canto. This is discussed in four chapters. And in that discussion, all the different questions were raised by King Janaka. Every one of them answered. And the last sage among these nine sages was known as Karabhajana Rishi. Karabhajana Rishi answers questions there very, very nicely. And the question, what was asked by King Janaka to Karabhajana Rishi was that after discussing about Maya, how to cross the Maya, different pastimes, which form one should worship, there are so many questions in there. The last question he has raised was, is there a different process of worship for different ages? And if it is there, what is the process to be followed in the age of Kali? This was the question they have raised, Janaka Maharaj raised to the nine sages. So in answer to that, Karavajana Rishi answers all the questions there, all these questions. And Karavajana Rishi was given the authority to talk about it, and he gives a very, very lengthy explanation of to the different times of in the history where different processes of religious principles were followed. So he said to King Janakam that Kritam Treda Dwaparam Kali, the four yugas exist, and in these four yugas people worship in four different ways. The process of worship is also different. So you can see from there that to a large extent people were aware of what was going to happen in the age of Kali, what happens in Dwapara Yugam and Krita Yugam and Treta Yugam also. So there it says there, Karavaja Rishi says, the people in the age of Krita Yugam will be so focused in Krishna consciousness. In other words, they had the physical strength, the mental strength, as well as their determination in advancing spiritual side of life. That was their quality. You can see that difference between us and them then, that how much it varies when it comes to the age of Kali, how much we have fallen in our own position. But long lifespan, one thing, long lifespan, tremendous capacity for austerities and penances, and fully focused on advancing in the spiritual side of life, free from all illusions and misconceptions of the bodily concept of life. These were the qualities of the people who lived in the age of Krita Yugam. And accordingly, the material nature was also reacting to them in the same way. So there are so many things mentioned, the qualities of the Krita Yugam. Then talked about Treta Yugam. Treta Yugam, what happened was, by now 25% people have lost their strength, and also people have become more involved in the sacrifices. Tredayam yajadomahai, that yajanam or otherwise performing sacrifices became the priority. Why? Because in the Krita Yugam, people had no need for sacrifice. Automatically things were provided. People didn't have to. It says in the Shastra that in Krita Yugam people didn't cultivate. They didn't have any agriculture even. All they had to do was to go and from the field get the crops and bring it home. That's all. Automatically Mother Earth was providing everything in abundance. There was no need or shortages of anything, and they didn't have any artificial necessities of life. They were able to live a lifestyle in such a way that they were able to advance in the Krishna consciousness. So, or in the on the process of religious principles they followed. But by Treta Yugam came, it has come down, it has changed a lot. And in Treta Yugam, people have become conscious of the fact that only if you go and throw the seeds, the plant will grow, come out from that. Automatically it has changed, and the situation changed in the fields. So agriculture has to be done. In other words, another result was that they also started performing these sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature. So like that, Treta Yugam and Dwapara Yugam, by the time Dwapara Yugam came, most of the people were experiencing the distress of the material life. Treta Yugam people didn't experience so much, but by Dwapara Yuga, people were experiencing the material distresses quite a lot. And that is why by 50%, Shastra says that 50% religious life has suffered because of that. And with the result was that they were not even able to perform sacrifices. Therefore, temple worship took over. Temple worship came into prominence, and deity worship became a major factor at that time in the age of Dwapara Yuga. But when it came to Kali Yuga, even that is gone. So you can see, Kritam Treta Dwaparam, three yugas before this, which is known as Tri Yuga. Krishna's appearance and Krishna's principles of religious practices were different. But when it came to Kali Yuga, people had virtually no strength. You can see there that the way it is expressed is that most of the people in the age of Kali, their characteristics are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. First thing is quarrelsome, always quarreling. Quarreling is a part of their nature. If they don't quarrel, they won't get sleep. That is how good they are in this age of Kali. And they will find anything and everything to quarrel each other. This quality of quarreling nature has come to us. This is a special quality of this age of Kali. They will find something to argue, and that is why in the Bhagavatam it says there that Parikshit Maharaj met Kali. Where did he meet? He met on the banks of the river Saraswati. Not Ganga, not Yamuna, but on the banks of Saraswati. Why Saraswati? Because Saraswati is the personality who actually allow us to speak as Vagdevata. She gives us the potency to speak, or Vagdeva, the ability to speak. Now, it is through the speaking the whole trouble starts first. So when you start speaking, it develops into argument, and then it gets into fight. So every time it is the same thing. It has not changed. Even today also, among the big leaders, they'll be talking first to each other a lot, and then they will physically get into fight. So this Saraswati river is mentioned because of this reason. The Kali begins, Kali, he met Kali on the banks of the river Saraswati. Parikshit Maharaj met Kali on the banks of the river Saraswati. So that's where this comes from. This Kali Yuga's beginning is like that, with quarreling. Secondly, the people of Kali Yuga, their qualities, Manda Sumanda Dayo Manda Bhagya Yuvadrudaha, that laziness and also lack of intelligence, they are not able to understand the importance of spiritual life. So they will give all sorts of explanations to the meaning of life. They will also try to express their life in different reasons. And they will try to make us understand that they have found out something new, what the rest of the world never knew about it before. And that is what is called the modern science, isn't it? So continuously you have to bring out something new and tell people that we have now found out which you didn't know before. That so millions and millions of years people lived on this planet, they didn't have the brain, but now we have got the brain to find out what is the truth behind this creation, or what is the principle behind this universe, or something like that, they'll create. So from anywhere, from there this point comes in, that in the age of Kali, this will be our intelligence. Manda prayenalpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumandamadayo manda bhagya hyubadrudaha. That this is the nature, manda bhagya hyubadrudaha. Vedavyasa says there, that manda sumandamadayo, manda, first of all lazy, not able to do anything. They can't do anything. Even when you tell them you have to get up in the morning, they think 10 times, do we have to get up so early in the morning? That is where manda sumandamadayo, that even whatever little that is understood, it is not affecting them, because the sumandamadayo, that intelligence is not able to grasp the message easily. Mandabhagya, that more than anything else, mandabhagyam, they are also very unfortunate. That is what Vedavyasa says. So this is the age of Kali. Manda sumandamadayo mandabhagya hyubadrudaha. That in this situation, that Karabhajana Rishi says to Janaka Maharaj, that this Kali Yuga will come. And when the Kali Yuga comes, what happens there? Shweta chayam kradetvam munivareva pushaprinayande tapobi trenayam sruksuvangina marunadanim yajnyarubam yajande sevande tandramargeir vilasadarigadam duavare shyamalangam neelam sangeertanadi iha kali samaye manushastvam bhajande. So little by little, in different stages, what people will do is explained there. Shweta chayam kradetvam munivaravabhusham prinayande tabhobi, that in the age of Kriyugam, people will perform meditation. Meditation process was so strong, they were able to control their mind and worship that form of Krishna situated within the heart. And there, Krishna has appeared as Narayan Narayana Rishi. Shweta chayam kradetvam munivaravabhusham prinayande tabhobi. Then, when it came to Tredayam, Tredayam sruksuvangidam arunadanyam yajnyarubam yajandem. That sruk and suvam, these are the weapons, tools used for performing sacrifices. So when it came to Tredayam, Tredayam sruksuvangidam arunadanyam yajnyarubam yajandem. They will serve Krishna, Yajna Murti, as Yajna Vai Vishnu. Vishnu is considered to be all the sacrifices are meant to please Vishnu. And people will perform sacrifices in the age of Tridayugam to please Vishnu. Tridayam sruksuvangidam arunadanam yajnyarubam yajande sevande tandramarge vilasadarigadaddu avare shyamalangam. When it comes to Dwapara Yugam, people will again change. They'll become sevande tandramarge. Through the Tantra Margam, they will perform the deity worship. They will serve the Supreme Lord in the temples. By performing through the Tantrika Vidhi or Vaidhika Vidhi, they will please Krishna by their service at the temple. Sevande Tandramarge Vilasadarigadvavare Shyamalangam. What happens in Kali Yuga? Miram Sangirtanadi Iha Kali Samaye Manushastvam Bhajande. They will worship Krishna in the age of Kali through the process of Sangirtanam. So that is how it is mentioned there. Neelam Sangirtana De Ihagali Samaye Manushastvam Bhajande. That Manushas or the human society, human population will serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the age of Kali just by chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is the injunction in the Shastra. So Karapagana Rishi said this to Janaka Maharaj in Mithila when the sacrifice was going on. And not only that, apart from that, there is a little more elaborate discussion on this particular age of Kali. How Kali could, Kali one can handle Kali. Kali won't touch a person if he is chanting the holy name of Krishna. Kali cannot touch him. These are certain exceptions. You know, when you have certain law, there is always exceptions and comments to it, isn't it? So same way, there are certain exceptions and comments to Kali also. And wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed, wherever devotees are chanting the holy name of Krishna, in these two places, Kali has no entrance. Kali has no entrance. That is the law. But sometimes, even in those places, Kali may come. That is also there. That is possibility is there, because if those who are executing those things, if they are not sincere in there or trying to doing done in a way that which is duplicitous way, at that time in those places also Kali can enter. This is the rule. So Kali has been prevented to, Kali has been told very clearly when Parikshit Maharaj allowed Kali to stay, this was the condition that he should not enter into places where the holy name of Krishna is chanted or Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. So anyway, so because of this, because it is like this, that this age of Kali has some greatness in there. Because what you couldn't do in Trayayugam, what was not acceptable, not enough in Kritayugam, or in Trayayugam, or in Dwaparayugam, is enough in the age of Kali. All the other three ages, this was not enough. Just by chanting the holy name wasn't enough. There was more expected of the human society. But by the time the Kali Yuga comes, Soyam Kale Yakalo Jedi Muraribo Yatra Sangirtana Adi Niryatni Evamage Akilana Jiral Tol Prasadam Bhajande. You can please Krishna in the age of Kali simply by chanting the holy names. That is a speciality of Kali Yuga. Soyam Kale Kalo Jedi. All glories to Kali, the devotee is saying to Krishna. Why? Because in no other age this was possible, that you could chant, just chant the holy name of Krishna and you can go back to Krishna. Krishna's special consideration or special mercy is this holy name. Soyam Kale Kalo Jedi Maribo Yatra Sangirtana De Niryatne Evam Adi Togila Najiral Tol Prasadam Bhajande. That simply by following this Sangirtana process, or simply by following the process of Sangirtanam, one can please Krishna. Jada Treda Kilada Vabihigilagalam. Those who have taken birth in the Kritayugam, Trayayugam and Dwaparayugam, and who could not perfect their lives by in Krishna consciousness, who could not perfect it or who could not go back into their spiritual world, all those great personalities, what do they say to Krishna? Give us a birth in Kali Yuga. That is the glory of Kali Yuga. Jada Treda Kilada Vabihigilagalo Sambhavam Kamayande. That even they pray to Krishna that give us a birth in Kali Yuga. Why? Devan Tatrai Vadadan Vishaya Visharase Ma Vibho Vanjayasman. That in this age of Kali, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain perfection. That is the beauty of Kali Yuga. But in that Kali Yuga, there is another problem. The biggest problem in Kali Yuga is that everybody knows what is that biggest problem. The biggest problem in Kali Yuga is Vishaya Visharase Ma Vibho Vanjay Asman, that we will get addicted to sense gratification more than any other ages. Why? Because of our attachment to the body. Attachment to the body And the sense gratification that comes along with it is much more prominent in the age of Kali. So therefore, the prayer to Krishna is that even if you give us a body in this age of Kali, even though we may not be able to do very much, at least let's not be get attracted to sense gratification. By jada treda kilada vabhi gilegalu sambhavam kamayande devan tatraiva jadan vishaya visharase ma vibho vanjayasman. That this sense gratification is nothing but Maya's ways of taking us away from Krishna. So when the sense gratification increases, automatically we go far away from Krishna. Vishaya visharase ma vibho vanjayasman. That if you are getting addicted to sense gratification, you have to take it that you are being cheated by Krishna's arrangement, by Krishna's Maya. So it is from this to escape that the devotees have prayed to Krishna that at least even if I get a birth in Kali Yuga, I shouldn't mind. I'll be happy to take that. But at the same time, let the sense gratification not drive me away from this. After discussing all these things in the Bhagavatam, it says, Bhaktastaval Kalausyu, Dramila Buidado Gurishas Tatrajoche, Kaveri Tamravarni Manigila Kajam Purva Punyam Pradijim. That they asked Karabaja Rishi, what will happen to those people who are worshipping Krishna? Karabaja Rishi answers that like this, that devotees will be born all over the world in the age of Kali. There will be everywhere devotees will take birth. There is no restriction on them, where they will take birth. Bhaktastaval Kalausyu. In Kali Yuga, devotees will be born everywhere. But specifically, he says there, Dravida Bhuvidado Bhuvisha, that majority of great devotees will appear on the banks of the river in Dravida Desham. That is how it is mentioned there. Bhagavatam says there, Kojin Kojil Maharaja, Dravide Shija Bhuvisha, Tamravarni Nadiyatra Kadamara Payaswini. There are so many rivers in these areas which has got the capacity to make one as devotees. That is the greatness of those rivers. And they are listed there. Kochil Kochil Maharaja Dravideshija Bhurisha Bhurisha Tamravarni Nadiyatra Kadamara Payaswini. Kaverinja Mahanadi Pradijinja Punyanadi. That Kaveri, Pradiji, and Kadamala, Payaswini, all these rivers are listed there. And those, in the banks of these rivers, great, great devotees will appear. This is the prediction in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 5,000 years ago, this was predicted. And has it happened? It has happened. You can see that Ramanujacharya, he banks from the river Kaveri, he has appeared. Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, all these great personalities, they appeared on the banks of these different rivers. Kaveri Tamravarni Jakadamala Payaswini, all these rivers are still there. Then Epipandi Janandasam Manijam Manisheshwaram Prayana Bhaktir Bhagavadi Vasudeve Amala Ashaya. That those who drink the water from these rivers, automatically they will develop that mood of goodness in them, which will help them to become devotees. They will not require much of a convincing about it. You don't have to preach and tell them that, look, you become a devotee like this. But automatically, by experiencing that, by drinking the water from these rivers, automatically one will develop that mood of goodness to understand Krishna consciousness. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance has a relationship with this. Mahaprabhu, at that time, in that mentions there, then whom should we worship in the age of Kali? That is also answered there. Karabhajana Rishi gives that by two verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Deyam sada paribhavatnam adhishtadoham tirthaspadam shivavirinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham bhavadi pranadabdhibodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. In the two verses, Lord Krishna's and Lord Ramchandra's life is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu knew that the devotees will be there, and that is how this journey has begun. So when he started the journey, immediately Mahaprabhu had clear ideas in his mind where he wanted to visit. So the first stop in that process was he came to what is known as a district called as Ganjam district in current modern Andhra Pradesh. And in Ganjam district there was a place known as Kurmacharam, and that is where Mahaprabhu first meets his devotee, a Brahmana. And this Brahmana invited Mahaprabhu home for his bhiksha. Sannyasis take bhiksha. In other words, they are invited and they are offered prasadam by the devotees. So he went there, and in that Brahmana's house, Mahaprabhu had discussions with the Brahmana about Krishna consciousness. The Brahmana was very pleased by Mahaprabhu's presence and felt great satisfaction and wanted to accompany Mahaprabhu for the rest of the journey. Mahaprabhu refused. He said to the Brahmana, stay here and chant the holy name and everything will come out okay. And then he continued. At that time, there was a Brahmana who lived in Kurmacharam, in the same place, who had leprosy all over his body. He was infected with leprosy. And generally, you can imagine, when someone has leprosy, people would not like to even go close to him. Mahaprabhu, out of his compassion, because he was a devotee, and this Brahmana came to see Mahaprabhu specifically, even in that very difficult conditions, and to get his mercy. He felt so bad that although he was infected with leprosy, he was not concerned too much about his body. He was willing to accept that this is my prarabdha karma that has taken over me in this way. And he has decided to go and see Mahaprabhu and pay his obeisances. Seeing this Brahmana's commitment to pay his respects to him, Mahaprabhu specifically made himself available to meet this Brahmana with leprosy and embraced him. Most of the people who saw this could not believe that Mahaprabhu has done such a thing. But because Mahaprabhu does not belong to this, he is Krishna himself, just by that one embrace and embracing once, that devotee Brahmana came out of his problem from his leprosy, and his body was as effulgent like Mahaprabhu. And he gave the mercy to that Brahmana, and Mahaprabhu left that place. And then he continued his journey from there, and it was in the Godavari river. Krishna and Godavari are two major rivers in Andhra Pradesh which flows into the Bay of Bengal. And in the banks of river Godavari, that Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy. And that discussion with Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy is a topic on itself. Just like we said before, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Mahaprabhu had a discussion where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee following Mahaprabhu's instructions. But here you will find exactly the opposite. That Mahaprabhu is asking questions from Ramananda Roy and bringing out from Ramananda Roy the higher mellows of Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Roy, in that discussions with Mahaprabhu, has step by step developed Krishna consciousness as the highest science of the all religious principles. That even jnanam, karmam, varnashram karma, nothing stands in front of the process of Krishna consciousness. And that discussion, because it is a topic of its own, that we have to leave it there. Mahaprabhu continued his journey from there. And Ramananda Roy, in that meeting, mentioned to Mahaprabhu of his desire to spend time with Mahaprabhu in Jagannathpuri. So Mahaprabhu promised Ramananda Roy that on his way back, he will meet him in the same place and they will travel together to Jagannathpuri. So this was a word Mahaprabhu has given, which he kept up after 6 years. When he finished his travel, on the way back he meets Ramananda Roy again there, on the banks of this river Godavari. From Godavari, next trip what he made was, he continued his journey and he arrived at a place called Kalahasti. Kalahasti is a famous temple of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has manifested in five major centers. There are so many large temples of Lord Shiva built in Tamil Nadu. Out of them, these five major temples, which one can go and visit them and see the amount of devotion the devotees had for Lord Shiva who have built these temples. And one of them belongs to this Kalahasti. In Kalahasti, Lord Shiva has manifested in the form of one of the material elements known as air. Like earth, water, air, ether and fire. These are the five material elements. Lord Shiva is worshipped in five different places in Tamil Nadu, and five temples exist there. Mahaprabhu has visited all of them during his journey in that area. So Chidambaram, he is worshipped as the sky. In Jambukeshwaram, he is worshipped as water. And here in Kalahasti, he is worshipped as air. and in Tiruvannamalai, where he is worshipped as fire. And all these temples are so big, constructed, and they have been standing there for so many thousands of years, that Mahaprabhu wanted to meet Lord Shiva in all these places. And there is a discussion between Lord Shiva and Mahaprabhu in one of these temples, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So from Kalahasti, he started continuing his journey, went to Tirupati, and then he went straight down to Srirangam. So while going to Srirangam, Srirangam was the place where Ramanuja Vaishnavas lived in large numbers. Ramanujacharya spent a lot of time in Ranganatha temple, and where he was initiated and developed this Sri Vaishnavism. One of the most powerful Vaishnava philosophy traditions comes from Srirangam. So when he goes to Srirangam, and it was in Srirangam that Mahaprabhu's intention was to spend his time with the family of Gopalabhatta Goswami's uncle and his parents. So that is why Srirangam has become a very prominent place for the Vaishnavas. And there, the largest temple in India even today is the temple in Srirangam, which was, some of the photographs are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And these temples were built not in one day. Different kings who appeared at different times, they all had added on to this temple. And that is how the current temple, modern Srirangam temple, is standing there, which was not built in one time. It was built at different stages. So many, sometimes even a few hundred years gap, they were built and they were added on. And the modern temple complex, which is so huge, they have been built by these kings with the encouragement from the Vaishnava Acharyas of those days. So Mahaprabhu decided to spend some time there. So Mahaprabhu was very keen, and in the system then those days was that sannyasis had no difficulty in traveling, because when Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri, there is a reference to that. That Mahaprabhu had, because the sannyasi is supposed to travel like that without any anxiety, why should he have the anxiety? Because the Varnashrama Dharma was followed in the society properly, and they were dependent on Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is singing a song there, Hare Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. It is this verse is what Mahaprabhu chanted. And while leaving, Mahaprabhu repeatedly said, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshama, let Lord Ramachandra protect me. This is what Mahaprabhu was singing at that time. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahimam. So seeing these two chanting these names of Krishna and Rama, Mahaprabhu continued the journey. Mahaprabhu had no anxiety about where to sleep, where to eat. And the system was such, the Brahmanas were able to invite the sannyasis. And sannyasis had no concern to visit the families of these Brahmanas, because they knew that it was the purpose of the visit to be fruitful, both for the Brahmanas as well as for the sannyasi. They were able to discuss the topics which were related to Krishna consciousness. And in that process, the sannyasis had the opportunity to present Krishna consciousness. The Brahmanas were woken up from their illusion, and they were also becoming serious in their spiritual life. So when he arrived in Srirangam, Mahaprabhu was invited by a family known as Venkatabhatta. Venkatabhatta invited Mahaprabhu there for prasadam. And in that process, Mahaprabhu stayed 4 months in that house. How did that happen? It happened like this. When Mahaprabhu arrived in Venkatabhatta's house, Venkatabhatta was a Vaishnava Brahmana who followed the Ramanuja tradition. For them, Narayana was the supreme. And the discussion went on. That Mahaprabhu, they do not spend their time discussing silly topics in this world. When they discuss each other, they discuss based on the Shastra, topics which are related to Krishna. And in that process of discussion, Mahaprabhu succeeded in convincing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is to be worshipped under all circumstances. So Mahaprabhu presented this philosophy of Krishna consciousness to Venkatabhatta. Venkatabhatta was an older person. He was not able to take everything completely. That is what happens in this world also. When we get older, everything becomes a little negative with us. But when you are young, you are able to absorb things easily. When Prabhupada was preaching in the beginning, often the journalists asked Prabhupada, why everyone is so young in your movement? All young people are joining. None of the old members are coming. Prabhupada's very answer was very straightforward. He said, you cannot teach an old man new tricks, he said. So, as we get older, we get more and more skeptical and cynical about this world. Even if somebody tells something truthfully, still we will think twice. Is he reliable? Is he trying to pull a fast one on me? Or some thoughts will come back. But in the younger mind, it doesn't happen like that easily. Because at that time, it is a little bit more open, our mind. So in the same way, when Mahaprabhu was talking to Venkatabhatta, Venkatabhatta was still having difficulty. But Gopal Bhatta, his nephew, who was at home, he had no problem. He had immediately touched, understood, clicked everything into his head, what Mahaprabhu said. That's why you find Gopal Bhatta followed Mahaprabhu later. And he became one of the most great and powerful Goswamis among the six Goswamis. And it is this Gopala Bhatta Goswami who came from Sri Rangam, who spent a lot of time with Rupa. And Mahaprabhu handed over Gopala Bhatta Goswami to Rupa and Sanatana to look after him. And under the training of Rupa and Sanatana, Gopala Bhatta, with his tremendous intelligence, wrote and edited some of the major works of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. In addition to that, Gopala Bhatta Goswami established this famous temple in Vrindavanam, which is known as the Radharaman Mandir. Radharaman temple was established by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami followed. Gopala Bhatta Goswami followed Mahaprabhu there. And when in this time, when all these things were happening, one day, 4 months he spent in, why? Because it is a normal practice. Sannyasis have to spend their Chaturmasyam time. Chaturmasyam is the 4 months of rainy season, when normally sannyasis stay in one place, and this is the time for them to strengthen their sadhana. And also it's an opportunity for discussing the shastra with the other devotees. Because when you live in one place, all this is possible. When you are traveling all the time, they don't get that opportunity. So they decided to do that in Sri Rangam. And in Sri Rangam, in the house of Venkatabhatta and in the association of Gopala Bhatta Goswami later on, Mahaprabhu spent 4 months, the whole Chaturmasyam time there. So during that time, Mahaprabhu used to go out often and he used to meet different kinds of people, particularly those devotees who were attracted to Mahaprabhu's personality. They spend the time with Mahaprabhu, inquiring from him and getting his mercy. Only those who are very fortunate were able to get that mercy from Mahaprabhu. So there you will see that Mahaprabhu spent on two different instances, two different brahmanas. And these two different brahmanas were two different qualities also. They were both excellent devotees, and Mahaprabhu wanted to recognize their devotion. In one instance, Mahaprabhu met a Brahmana, and this Brahmana was reading Bhagavad Gita. And while reading Bhagavad Gita, tears were coming from his eyes. He was shedding tears so much. Mahaprabhu went up to him and asked him why he was crying. That Brahmana, who did not fully understand what was written in the Bhagavad Gita, he was looking at the picture of Krishna and Arjuna, and he was crying. He was thinking that if there is somebody like Krishna who can go to such an extent to serve a devotee like Arjuna, that how compassionate he could be that he has decided to serve him by driving his chariot. In addition to that, when he was completely in distress, he has spoken Bhagavad Gita to him and brought him back to his life. So to such an extent, if Krishna cares for a devotee, if I have taken shelter of the devotee, what would be my good fortune? This is what Brahmana was thinking. Seeing that Brahmana's conviction and seeing that Brahmana's realizations, Mahaprabhu was so moved by that feelings, he gave that Brahmana the benediction that he will become successful in his spiritual life. So this is Krishna's ways of doing things. Nobody knows how Krishna will reciprocate with the devotee. When Krishna sees that his devotee is sincere in his relationship with Krishna, and when the Brahminical culture was strong, where Brahmanas cared for their spiritual life, unlike today, when the Brahmanas have lost their strength, and with that, the Vedic culture also has come to problems. But otherwise, the Brahminical tradition was so strong that nothing in this material world will move them away from their determination in the process of spiritual life. That is how strong they were. So this Brahmana has acted so nicely, Mahaprabhu was pleased with him. Then after spending some time there, he went to the place today what is known as Mathura. This Mathura, there is Mathura in UP where Krishna, Vasudeva and Devaki spent in the prison where Krishna appeared. But there is another Mathura in the south, and in that Mathura that Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Meenakshi. Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Meenakshi. Meenakshi is Lord Shiva's consort. And there, in that temple, he wanted to see the temple, visit the temple, and visit the devotees as well. There he met one of these brahmanas there, who invited Mahaprabhu for prasadam at home. So as I said before, it was a natural system those days that devotees invited sannyasis for bhiksha at home for prasadam. It was an opportunity to serve them, at the same time an opportunity to discuss spiritual topics. Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation, went to his house. When he went to his house, this brahmana received Mahaprabhu nicely, took him home, and it was sometime just before the middle of the day when Mahaprabhu went to the house. But after some time, Mahaprabhu saw the brahmana was crying, he wasn't doing anything. So Mahaprabhu thought that there will be some prasadam after a while and something is going to happen, but he has got all the ingredients, but he was not cooking anything. There was no prasadam. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And because there was no prasadam, Mahaprabhu wanted to find out from the brahmana that why he is not cooking anything. So out of curiosity, Mahaprabhu inquired from the brahmana that when is he going to start cooking prasadam. The brahmana started crying and says to him that he was so much in ecstasy, thinking about, he was constantly chanting the name of Sita Devi and Lord Ramachandra. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, he was constantly chanting this. And he was in such an ecstasy that he was saying to Mahaprabhu that Lakshmana has gone out to collect the fruits and the vegetables. When Lakshmana brings them back, Sita Devi will cook that. This was the answer he got from the brahmana. Mahaprabhu was could not believe it, that this brahmana's concern was that he was saying like this, that how much Lord Ramachandra has been suffering in the forest because along with Sita Devi and Lakshmana, a prince who has lived in Ayodhya in great opulence, why he had to go through this. This was hurting this brahmana so much. That is attachment. This is bhakti. Bhakti means that when they were going through, although in their pastimes they have acted all these things, a devotee's concern is at any instance when the Krishna is suffering or Ramachandra is suffering, apparently suffering, they get disturbed by that. Mother Yashoda used to feel disturbed very same way when Krishna was not fed properly. Gopis got disturbed at one point saying to Krishna that if you walk through the forests of Vrindavan, one day you may get hurt. Kurpa deve brahma deve bhavada ayusham. In the Gopika Gidam, the gopis are saying to Krishna that we are not worried what will happen to us, but we are worried that if you get hurt in your feet by one of these stones, it may hurt your feet, and then we don't want to see tomorrow with a bandage tied on your feet. We don't want to see that. So like this, this brahmana was also in that ecstasy of thinking about Ramchandra's distress, Ramchandra's situation. He was feeling so much that he has forgotten to cook. He has even forgotten the cook to offer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was relishing this relationship of the brahmana and his ecstasy. And listening to the brahmana, Mahaprabhu said to him that it should not disturb you so much. After all, Lord Ramachandra is not somebody whom you can imprison him like that. He has performed certain pastimes. He had an intention of coming here. And the intention was to come and to bring Sita Devi back from Ravana's hands. So when he said that, Brahmana got more disturbed. Why did he get more disturbed? Because Ramana said to Mahaprabhu that if it is like that, why did that Sita Devi was abducted by Ravana like that? This is not something proper. And how much Ramachandra must have been disturbed by that? So Mahaprabhu understood the problem what was having. Mahaprabhu realized that Ramana was getting so disturbed that the wife, Sita Devi, was abducted by Ravana. And how much distress must be Ramachandra going through? All this was disturbing him so much that he expressed this openly to Mahaprabhu. At that time, Mahaprabhu decided to get rid of this problem. He said to Brahmana, "My dear Brahmana, what you are saying is true, that Sita Devi's departure must have caused some distress to Ramachandra. But Ravana can never touch Sita Devi. He will never touch her. Who is Sita Devi after all? Sita Devi is the mother of this universe. Ravana can never do anything to her." And Mahaprabhu said this to Brahmana, and Brahmana felt a lot relieved at that point. But still, Brahmana cooked the meal and offered everything to Mahaprabhu. He wouldn't eat anything. He started saying to Mahaprabhu, "Unless and until I am convinced that Sita Devi has not been touched by Ravana, I will not eat any food." He started making all these difficult conditions to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu insisted that he should eat some prasadam. Anyway, Mahaprabhu took a prasadam and requested him to take some prasadam. These are the transcendental relationship between the devotee and Krishna. Mahaprabhu decided to leave. And when he left that place, Mahaprabhu had a definite plan in his mind and he went straight to Rameshwaram. It is the southernmost point. And in Rameshwaram, there was some brahmanas were reading together this Puranam known as Kurma Puranam. Kurma Puranam was being read by a brahmanas together. In the olden days, that was the system, that all the Puranas were recited by the brahmanas in the temple for the benefit of the devotees. Devotees got considerable, immense benefit from that, from the Puranas. And therefore, there was no need to specifically teach anything. Everything was known to the people because of the opportunity to listen to the Puranas. So, Kurma Puranam was being recited in Rameshwaram, and Mahaprabhu was listening to that. And it so happened, when he went there, in this Kurma Puranam, they were discussing that particular topic relating to abduction of Sita Devi by Ravana. And Mahaprabhu found that very interesting. And they were reading there that Ravana could never get Sita Devi, because when Ravana was abducting Sita Devi, the fire god Agni Deva took Sita Devi away from there. And it is the illusory Sita who was taken by Ravana to Sri Lanka. Ravana could never lay her hands on Sita Devi. And later on, when everything was over, when the war was over, and later on, when everybody insisted that Ramachandra should receive Sita Devi through a purification, the fire, it is then that the Agni, demigod Agni, brought her back and handed over to Ramachandra. Up to that time, she was under the care of the Agni Deva, or the fire god. So you can see, Kurma Puranam explains all these things in detail. Mahaprabhu decided to copy that part of Kurma Puranam. In those days, we didn't have Xerox machine and all that. So he had to write it down, everything. Mahaprabhu copied the whole thing. And obviously, he decided to come back to the same Brahmana again. Brought this whole story back in the Shastra, as it was written in the verses. Brought back and gave it to our Brahmana in Mathura. And told him, "What I have told you before is true. Shastras are supporting that. And here is the proof from the Kurma Puranam, where it clearly explains this, that Ravana had never touched Sita Devi. It was always the Maya Sita who was abducted by Ravana." When the Brahmana heard this and read all these things, he started looking at Mahaprabhu. And he said to Mahaprabhu, "You are Ramachandra himself. You are not different than him. Because knowing my distress in my heart, he has come in your form and shown me that, and relieved me from my distress, what I was going through. Mahaprabhu blessed the Brahmana at that time and then left that place afterwards. So from there, he went back to, he continued his journey, and then he traveled. So many temples are visited in those places. Some of them are listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some of them are not listed. And from there, he comes to a place known as, before that he goes to Sringeri, he has other places to visit. So in the banks of the river Payaswini, that is where, that is the Tiruvatar Adhikeshava temple where he visited. And it is in Adhikeshava temple, Mahaprabhu picked up a copy of the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is so dear to Mahaprabhu. That is why in all the temples, even today, Brahma Samhita is recited, at least a few verses. And it is the prayers of Lord Brahma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it actually carries the whole philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Mahaprabhu was fond of Brahma Samhita. And after getting a copy of Brahma Samhita from Tiruvatar Adhikeshava temple, Mahaprabhu also went to Kanyakumari, where Durga Devi is worshipped very opulently. So many other temples listed there. You will find more or less the same temple visited by Lord Balaram also during his journey. From there, he travelled further to the north. So when he came to Karnataka, he decided to go and see this monastery of Sringeri. Sringeri is a very well-known place of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya established four major mutts in India. One in the north, one in the south, one in the east, and one in the west. They all have been given their own names also. The north one is in Badrinath, a place near Badrinath called as Joshimath. That is the Shankaracharya of the north. And Shankaracharya of the south, he is situated in Sringeri, who has the control on the mutts in the south. Then in Jagannathpuri, Shankaracharya established the mutt for the eastern part of India. And in the Dwaraka, Shankaracharya Swamiji established the mutt for establishing the mutt in Dwaraka for the west. So Dwaraka, Joshimath, Jagannathpuri and Sringeri. These four mutts in four corners of the country he established. And he made four of his major disciples in charge of these four mutts. And all these four disciples, they were very powerful personalities. And one of them, who is known as Sureshwara Acharya, he took over this mutt of Sringeri. And that has been existing by now. That means Shankaracharya appeared in the 8th century. And this is the Mahaprabhu has been there in the 15th century. So the 7th century it has existed there. And they have been coming through their disciplic succession there. And Mahaprabhu went there in Sringeri. And Sringeri, he had discussion with the Acharyas there. And from there, he traveled further to Udupi. Udupi is where Madhvacharya's center and also famous Krishna temple. And Udupi, he met Madhvacharya's devotees. And with them, he had philosophical discussions. In all these places, Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna consciousness, the importance of Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu, from there, after that, he went towards the Pandharpur. And on the way to Pandharpur, it is in Pandharpur that there is a famous temple of Panduranga. And in Panduranga temple, Mahaprabhu spent some time. On the way there, on the Krishnaveni River, nearby Krishnaveni River, Mahaprabhu had the opportunity to get a copy of the book known as Krishna Karnamrutam, which was written by Vilumangalam. So Vilumangalam, who was known as Leela Shugan, another name given to him is Leela Shugan. Why? The name was given to him because Sukadeva Goswami, who is known as Shuga Brahmashri or Shukadeva in the Shastra, he is expert in discussing Krishna's pastimes. And after Sukadeva Goswami, the next personality who has succeeded in discussing those pastimes so nicely is Vilumangalam. Therefore, Vilumangalam has been given the title as Leela Shugan. So Leela Shugan wrote this book, Krishna Karnamrutam, and a copy of that book was secured from the nearby the river of Krishnaveni. Mahaprabhu had this book also. So Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrutam, the two books, Mahaprabhu brought it back to Navadvip on his way. He brought it back with him. So from Krishnaveni river, he came to Panduranga's temple or Vittal temple, Vittalnathji.
And it was there that Mahaprabhu came to know that a disciple of Madhavendra Puri was living there, known as Rangapuri. So naturally, being in the same tradition, and also when he came to know that he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, naturally he was very enthusiastic, inquisitive to go and meet him. And he went to see him, and Rangapuri asked Mahaprabhu that he didn't know him, because by age there was a big difference between them. Rangapuri asked him about his earlier life. And the reply Mahaprabhu has given, you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the way he has spoken, that normal practice among the sannyasis is that in my purva ashram, or in other words, when I was a brahmachari, that's what, they won't say that, because as far as they are concerned, that life is over. Once I have become a sannyasi, that life is over, brahmachari life is over. They'll put it like this, they said in the purva ashram, I was known as Krishna Chaitanya. And my father in the purva ashram, that is how they relate, all the time they will insist on this. In my purva ashram, Jagannatha Mishra and Sachidevi were my parents. And when this name was mentioned, Rangapuri immediately got into his mind, because he had an opportunity to visit Navadvip with Jagannatha and to visit Navadvip with Madhavendra Puri, and had an opportunity to stay in Jagannatha Mishra's house. So immediately Rangapuri told Mahaprabhu that this Jagannatha Mishra had a son by name Vishwarupa, and who had taken the name of Shankararanya as a sannyasi in the Shankaracharya's tradition, who came here and he left his body in Pandapur, in Mittalnanji's temple there. So when Mahaprabhu heard that, he could say that it was nobody else than his brother to whom he was travelling to search. So you can see two brothers, Vishwarupa and Nimai, who was became later on Shankararanya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two sons of Jagannatha Mishra and Shaji Devi, they have become such great devotees of Krishna. After hearing this, Rangapuri, who was present there at that time, told Mahaprabhu that what a good fortune Jagannatha Mishra has done, that two of their sons have become such great personalities in Krishna consciousness, that they have delivered this world. This is the spirit of sacrifice. That sacrifice they have done to this world, both Mahaprabhu and Shankararanya, it shows this is the strength of Vedic culture. Then Vedic culture means this, that a parent's life has become sublime when the children were able to sacrifice their life for propagating Krishna consciousness and presenting Krishna consciousness and to elevate the human society in advancing in the process of Krishna consciousness. Rangapuri complimented and glorified Jagannatha Mishra so much for his good fortune. After saying goodbye to Rangapuri, Mahaprabhu left there and then he continued his travel towards the north. And then he further turned to Bijapur. There are so many places mentioned. Eventually, Mahaprabhu also, it says in the reports that Mahaprabhu visited Baroda, Ahmedabad, and then he went to Dwaragadisha temple. And there he spent some time knowing very well that Vilamangalam has established a deity in Dwaragadish temple. So naturally, Mahaprabhu had a special attraction to see Dwaragadish. And thinking about all the pastimes of Dwaragadish, Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He spent some time in Dwaragadish temple, and on his way back, he heard that his presence is, all the devotees in Jagannath Puri are waiting for him to come back. So Mahaprabhu, without delaying anymore, he came back. On his way, he met Ramananda Roy again in Godavari River, banks of the river Godavari. And it is then that Ramananda Roy expressed his desire to go back with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he allowed Ramananda Roy to come back with him. So that was the travel of Mahaprabhu towards the different holy places. There are so many names mentioned, so many temples during this visit, and fortunately most of these temples are still there. And if one has an opportunity to travel to these places and visit these temples, it will definitely inspire one's understanding of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not something very, it's not something which is just books alone. Man, books are there, books are just the expression of the devotee's understanding of Krishna consciousness. But in this process of Krishna consciousness, which has been existing for thousands of years, so many devotees have contributed in their own way in glorifying Krishna. And that inspires a devotee when he sees that, when he sees some of these temples, what Mahaprabhu visited, it definitely gives inspiration to for us also, that there is a system which has been practiced for thousands of years by devotees for advancing in the process of Krishna consciousness. Their surrender and their commitment is always an inspiration to the devotees. And that is what we find from these travels. Mahaprabhu had several reasons to go, several reasons to visit all these places. Bhaktastavil kalausyu dravida bhuidado bhurishastatrajo chai kaveri tamravarni anugilakadamalanja punyam pradijin. That all these rivers, what did they offer? They offered, they made devotees. Devotees grew up on the banks of these different rivers. And they had the good fortune that while living on the banks of the rivers, they were inspired to preach Krishna consciousness. And from them, the acharyas brought these different traditions also. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one instance when Uddhava asked Krishna, that how do we cultivate mode of goodness? Krishna's answer was, that the mode of goodness is cultivated when one is able to associate with these certain different rivers. These rivers have got the potency to develop Krishna consciousness. That's the strength of the Krishna consciousness in the process in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So for these different reasons, Mahaprabhu traveled to all these holy places. And after this, when Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri, then the remaining 18 years in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was guiding and instructing the devotees and at the same time confidentially discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with his confidential associates. Normally among the sannyasis also, they have confidential associates. Like Mahaprabhu had Surup Damodar. Surup Damodar was, Surup was his name. He was the son of Purushottama Acharya from Naidwip. This Surup Damodar, Surup has by nature was a great devotee. He had, although he was very learned and very much involved in studying all the scriptures, at the early days in life itself, he was attracted to Krishna consciousness more than the Shastra. Krishna consciousness is that one which has given him so much attachment to Krishna. So he decided that at one point when Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, immediately he decided to leave Navadvip, but he could not accompany Mahaprabhu straight away. So what he did was he came to Benares, and in Benares he got initiated there into Sannyas Ashram, and his name was Swarup. And Swarup, because being a devotee, although his spiritual master was very much involved in studying the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra and all the other great literature, he was not interested in it so much. He enjoyed this Mahaprabhu's process more than anything else. Naturally, being a devotee, he had attraction for chanting the holy name, enjoying the association of the devotees. And his mind was more attracted towards the process of Krishna consciousness. The result was that as soon as Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri, as soon as Surup came to know that Mahaprabhu is back in Jagannath Puri, he decided to leave Benares and come to Jagannath Puri. And that's what we find there, that he left Benares, came back to Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu added the name to him as Surup Damodar. And Surup Damodar has one of the most important role in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Because when Mahaprabhu felt in ecstatic mood in many instances, Surup Damodar was the personality who always understood what was the mood of Mahaprabhu. And often many great devotees, they came to see Mahaprabhu and express their feelings through their poetry. Mahaprabhu always handed over that to Surup Damodar to screen it and to check it, whether it was acceptable for Mahaprabhu to read it. to so much faith Mahaprabhu has given to put into Swarup Damodar. So this Swarup Damodar became a confidential associate of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri along with Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy's discussion with Mahaprabhu is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a large, many chapters turning into talks between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. So there we will see that this personality, Ramananda Roy, what Mahaprabhu used to think about him, that that Krishna consciousness is beyond birth. Krishna consciousness is not controlled by anyone's birth. Anybody who has attraction for Krishna, Mahaprabhu always found that in his heart. And that is the glory of Mahaprabhu. That is why, through Shikshashtakam prayers, when Mahaprabhu talks about it, that in this age of Kali, there is no other process which is as effective as the chanting of the holy name. And therefore, Mahaprabhu repeatedly said this again and again, I made people to chant the holy name, and with that, the holy name has spread. And today, after so many years, 500 years after Mahaprabhu's departure from this planet, more and more people are taking to this process because it is the only process that is practical in this age of Kali. All other, and if it is properly executed, because Krishna has given this special concession for the age of Kali, simply by chanting Krishna's holy name alone is sufficient for one to go back home, back to Krishna. That is the strength of the holy name. And Mahaprabhu wanted to prove this to the world, and all the necessary support this argument of chanting the holy name, Mahaprabhu empowered Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami and others to write so much literature and to present it to the world that this is the process for the age of Kali. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Varshadam Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasaha. Then in the age of Kali, people who worship Krishna, Krishna Varnam Dusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Varshadam Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasa. Those who have got the intelligence, they will worship Krishna. How? Through this process known as Sankirtanam. What is Sankirtanam? Sankirtanam means nothing but chanting and glorifying Krishna. That glorification can be either through the holy name or through Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirtaspadam shiva virinjanidam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadabhala bhavabhivodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Karavajana Rishi has spoken like this. Tektva sudupsina surepsina rajyalashmim dharmishtam aryavajasayadagadaranyam mayamridam daidayepsidam anyadhaval vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. So these two forms, Sri Ramachandra and Krishna, Shri Krishna, these two are Rama and Krishna. These two names must be chanted in the age of Kali. That is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how do they chant? Through the two letters, Rama, came Ramayanam. 24,000 verses Ramayanam came from these two letters, Rama. These two letters, Krishna, came this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, with 18,000 verses. So both Rama and Krishna, this is what Karabhajana Rishi told in that assembly to the king, that Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadabala bhavadivodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. That simply by surrendering to one of these forms, Lord Ramachandra's or Krishna's, one will have the complete benefit. And by chanting that holy name alone, one can go back home, back to Godhead. This is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is this Karabhaja Rishi who predicted the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Dusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yate Sangirtana Prayer Yajan Nishisumedhasam. That people with intelligence will learn this.
that this is the process that will work. All other processes you can follow, but it will not have it will not be so effective as chanting the holy name of Krishna and Rama. So therefore, Mahaprabhu left this holy name to us. And by Mahaprabhu's mercy, so many acharyas came later. And particularly, Srila Prabhupada brought this message to the whole world for them to take it and get the benefit from that. Acharyas have no self-interest. They are the only people in this world who act without any selfish interest behind them. Everybody else acts in this world, whether it is United Nations or other nations, all nations, they have their own interest behind it. Although they will talk about this relief and that relief, when it comes to their own relief, they are not able to relieve themselves from the distress. But this is the difference, that unless one is free from distress, one cannot relieve somebody else's distress. This is the basic thing. Whereas people who are themselves in distress, they are trying to relieve others' distress. And that's what we find, that this is why Prabhupada used to say this, that all these organizations and big institutions can never bring you any relief at the end, because they themselves are in distress. So where is the question of relieving somebody else's distress? So the simple thing is that the acharyas, great devotees of Krishna, when they come, they bring this message and give it to us, and then they go. That those who are fortunate enough, they will take advantage of it. That is why this particular word is used in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Bhangastra Vashadam Yajne Sangeertana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasa. Sumedhasa means one who has got the good intelligence, they will take to it. That is why only those who have that intelligence, they will take to the chanting process of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Otherwise, that is such a simple process. Prabhupada is given such a simple process that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna and Rama, one can go back home, back to Godhead, and following the regulative principles, of course. But this process of chanting is not started today. It has been recommended in the Shastra, in the bona fide process. And Mahaprabhu came here only to propagate this holy name. That is the special mercy of Mahaprabhu. And this is exactly what Mahaprabhu tried to do during his 6 years of traveling to the holy places. So, it's 7 o'clock. I'll stop there. And there's any questions?
Once again, thank you very much for your talk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his travels. And as ever, what you had to say has brought up so many things for me to ask. I'll keep it very brief though. So my gratitude to you again.
Thank you.
For your talk. Concerning the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
yes.
It occurred to me while you were speaking that I had heard very little about him.
Yeah.
And what he did in those mysterious years that we know that he left home and went to South India.
Yes.
Is there much information available?
No, there is not. The only thing we hear about him after he left home is when we hear from Mahaprabhu himself, when he heard in Pandarpur that his brother used to live there, Visharupa used to live there. And he has taken sannyasa ashram from Sringeri, and that is how he became sannyasi and came there. And then during his time there, he has got attracted to the worship of Krishna there in Pandarpur, in that temple. And then eventually he gave up his body there. That's all information we have. We haven't got any other knowledge about him. But as I said in last class, that this Shankararanya sannyasi, his special nature was that what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Shujinam Srimadam Gehe Yoga Brashtobi Jayade, one who has fallen down from some high position of a yogi, he was like that. In other words, he didn't have anything to do with this world. He had, from the very beginning itself, he was like that. Unlike Mahaprabhu, he was so much detached to this world, even in his early years in life. And in Advaita Acharya's association, in the school where he was learning from Advaita Acharya, he developed this strong desire to take to sannyasa ashram. from the, such an early age in life. So which shows that it was not an artificial thing. It was something from the previous birth that has just followed him into this life. Exactly like it follows everybody else. The same way it just followed him. And as soon as he took sannyas, which was his desire to leave home, and you can imagine the circumstances he has left home. His parents were not that wealthy, and they were old, and they were ill, and in the normal conditions, normally they would have expected the children to look after them. But he thought himself that if I think like that, it means that I have no faith in Krishna. You see how much elevated that understanding was in life, that I have no faith in Krishna. This strength of character, strength of mind is not so easy to acquire in this world. But he already had this realization that after all, Krishna is looking after millions of living entities. Why he would not look after my parents? That was his argument, logic also. And so therefore he left everything and then went away. We don't hear anything about him after that. So some people say that Mahaprabhu used this as an excuse to leave Jagannath Puri, to his close friends, to leave them. And they were trying to follow him, to tell him that they will help him to find you. He said, no, I will find out myself. But it was by accident that he came to know about this in Pandapur. But there's no other information anywhere I've read so far about this brother. But you can see from one family, two sons, Mahaprabhu and the elder brother, and both of them at such an early age take to sannyasa ashram. So you can see from that they were not ordinary personalities. I mean, you have to have such a high degree of realization to be in that position. It's not something that can easily be achieved by ordinary people. That is Mahaprabhu's special position. That when Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri and when he was leaving, so many people were following him to go along with him. And in one of the references to Mahaprabhu, it says that Mahaprabhu was fond of two songs particularly. And you can see Prabhupada also used to sing them always. One was this Krishna, 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 Krishna. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshama. That was one of the songs. The other one was Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. These two songs Mahaprabhu always sung. And Mahaprabhu felt so much ecstasy in singing these two songs. Because in those two songs, Mahaprabhu enjoyed Krishna more than anything else, anywhere else. And that's why that, and it has that potency in those two songs. Mahaprabhu has put the potency into those songs. And when you sing them, you can immediately experience that it is something beyond this world, those two songs, what Mahaprabhu used to sing when he left Jagannath Puri on his travels. So it's also to show that Mahaprabhu had a definite clear plan in his mind that he wanted to see these devotees in different places and enjoy their association. This was one of the prime reasons why he decided to travel like this. And 6 years travel is not a short time. Of course, in those days, 6 years is not considered very long, because people traveled like that, and there was the mode of transport was such, and people had so much time for Krishna conscious activities. People were not infected with other problems of life. They were lived simple, so they had spiritual life was the main life. The other things were considered less significant. But today it's completely different.
Thank you very much. And just one more thing. Yeah. There must be other questions to ask. It occurred to me also as you spoke about the Yuga Dharma for the age, of course, is the Sankirtan.
Yeah.
Or Kali Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we can
go back home.
Go back home,
yeah.
Back to Godhead. So it seems so simple, yet for the different yugas there have been different methods for reaching this.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. But it occurred to me, and I don't think I've thought about this before, why not, if it's so simple to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, it would also seem logical that could be the yuga mantra for the other ones also.
No. These laws are not established by us. It is Krishna's law. That's what works always. When Krishna decides that this is enough to place me in this age, then that becomes the law. It's like he said that if you chant Hare Krishna, that's enough for me in this life, in this age. And therefore we chant Hare Krishna. And therefore Mahaprabhu came to present the holy name. Because Krishna knows that this is what we are capable of doing. He knows that. And it's no point in telling us that you should study all the books and then understand me and come back to me. He knows that it will not happen. So in the third canto, I think it is the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one instance. I think I mentioned this before. Brahmaji stopped creation at one point. Brahma said, I could not continue creation anymore because everyone is criticizing me that they're telling me that you are the cause of all our distress. Everyone has abused Brahma for this. Everybody, including the gopis of Vrindavanam, they also said to Brahma that you have created, yes, in the eyelids and therefore we can't see Krishna. So like this, everybody used to criticize Brahma. So Brahma at one point said to Krishna that I cannot continue this process of creation anymore. I have to stop it. So Krishna said, that's not possible. You have to continue. That is the law. You have to do it. So Brahma said, then I need some concessions from you. So Krishna said to him, then write down everything, what concessions you want, bring it and I'll sign it for you. He said to him. And that is why in the Bhagavad it's mentioned like that. It's not exactly in the same way, but this is what the essence is. That Brahma says to Krishna, then all these people are accusing me that I've done this, I've done that, I've created them and that's the cause. But in this age, they are suffering because of their own karma. I am not responsible for that. My job is always to release them as the time comes. They go and get their bodies and they go on going through the different bodies all the time. But they are complaining that I am responsible for all their miseries. In fact, they are themselves responsible because they performed all these ugra karmas and sinful activities and they are suffering for that. So I can't be blamed for that, Brahma said. But they are not able to understand this point. They are still blaming me, he said. But unless you make some concession to them, they cannot do anything because they just don't have the intelligence to understand this, he said. So Krishna said, what concession do they want? Then he says, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, Yasya avatara guna karma vidambanani namani, that if somehow or the other, if a person is able to chant your name at the time of leaving this world, if that happens, you should give him shelter. This was Brahma's request to Krishna. So Krishna says, you want it in writing, he said. He said, yes, because previously you have not given me in writing many things and things have changed. Times have changed now, isn't it? Today we also ask for writing everything, isn't it? So Brahma also was following the same rule, I suppose, that he wanted in writing and Krishna has given it in writing in the Bhagavatam. That if one chants the holy name, he should be given the shelter at the time of death. One will only chant the holy name if he has practiced it in his life. Otherwise it's not going to happen. That by accident it may happen one in billion years, billion people. Normal people, unless one practices chanting the holy name, it won't happen. So that guarantee Krishna has given in the Bhagavatam, that one can chant and go back. So again, you can see Krishna is in control. Krishna decides what is good for us and what is not good for us. So Krishna has decided that in this age, you chant my name and you take prasadam and hear about me. That's enough. Don't have to study Vedanta Sutram and Upanishads and all that. It is not going to happen and people won't have the time also to do it. So at least do this much, he said. If you do this, everything will come out okay at the end. And that's a guarantee from Krishna in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna has given this. It is on the strength of that Ajamila went back. It's the strength of that we are all looking towards the spiritual world. There's nothing else we have. We haven't got any other qualification. We haven't got anything else in us to qualify us to go back home back to Krishna. But it is on the strength of this commitment what Krishna is guaranteed. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted people to understand. That in the scriptures there are so many things mentioned in so many ages, so many lifetimes, so many different philosophies. There is nothing what is not there in the Vedic literature. But bringing out what is important for a particular age, that's the duty of the acharyas. Acharyas do that. And Mahaprabhu presented this one philosophy, and on the strength of this philosophy, people are chanting Hare Krishna today. And chanting Hare Krishna today. And that's what keeps the spiritual life going. And if one is chanting Hare Krishna, automatically one refrains from sinful life. That's natural thing. If one is doing it sincerely, you'll do that. And one refrains from sinful life, chanting Hare Krishna, one can go back home back to Krishna. This is Krishna's guarantee, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guarantee. What more can we ask for?
I think Professor Prabhupada said, I think, by chanting the holy name, the Vedic, whole Vedic knowledge will be revealed to the heart.
Yes. Chanting process is such that if one has perfected in chanting, automatically what is the essence of Vedic knowledge is that one gets attached to Krishna. So then attachment comes through the process of chanting. Of course, in the very higher levels of realization. But even if one may not reach that level in one's life, one may not get to that level, at least at the time of death, which is the, in one's life, which is the most crucial time. It's not the time when you get married. It's not the time when you write your examinations in the university. It's the time when you leave this body. That is in one's life the most crucial time. Everything else will come and go one after the other in life. So at that time, if one is able to chant the holy name of Krishna, at least you are guaranteed, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you will get a life, next life, where you will go further from where you had given up. Even if you don't get back to the spiritual world, at least you are in the right path. Already you are going in the right direction. Otherwise, punaravijananam, punaravimaranam, punaravijanani, jadareshayanam. Then Acharya Swamiji says there that take birth again, go back to another womb, come out again. Punanavi jadari janani jadare shayanam. Idi samsare bahudustare kripaya apare pahi murare. That addressing Krishna as the Murya's enemy, he says, this samsara, material existence, is a very difficult thing. And only acharyas can certify that. We don't understand. We think it's such a pleasant place to live and such an enjoyable, so much things to be done here. But from their point of view, it is samsare bahu dustare, that samsaram, material existence, is full of trouble. This is not a happy situation. Krishna says, anityam asukham logam imam prapipajaswamam. So it's the same thing Acharya is also repeating. Iti samsare bahudustare kripayavare epahi murare. That unless Krishna shows that kripa or mercy, there is no other way you can come out of it. You see, we are so strongly controlled by Krishna's energy. And people think that they feel that they have so much faith in their ability. But our faith in the ability has a limit. It cannot go beyond than that. Whereas if you have faith in Krishna's ability, then you know that you are in a safe position. It is Krishna's mercy alone. For example, in this world, while discussing the Krishna consciousness, Uddhava asked Krishna that the Atreya Brahmana, who was on the banks of the river Kaveri, where he was lying, from him, Yadu Maharaj, Krishna's ancestor, asked a lot of questions, and from him, he got a lot of questions answered. And he picked up so many spiritual masters in this world. 24 spiritual masters in the Srimad Bhagavatam comes from that. So, when you read through that, in the Bhagavatam you find, how come Dattatreya Maharshi was able to see them as spiritual master and were able to learn so many things from them in his own life? He was able to do that. How was he able to do that? Because we are also living in the same world as Dattatreya Maharshi has lived. But we are not getting any realization from any of these spiritual masters. Why is that? Uddhava asked Krishna. Krishna said, you can study anything, you can read anything, but unless you get that mercy from me, it's not going to happen at the end. That's why you will find the Tolkarunye pravarte ihamahi guru loga vratte vibhuman. That it's just Krishna's karunyam or Krishna's mercy that makes the devotee's life successful. Otherwise it's not going to happen. And it is for that mercy that we are begging to Krishna.
What process we should do to get mercy of Krishna?
Chant Hare Krishna. Yes, if you chant all the time Krishna's name, it will work. It will show its power one day. But most critical, that's when the holy name will show its potency. There's so many instances in the history of so many devotees, these things have happened. There are so many devotees in this world. Some of them are well known. But there are so many unknown devotees who were never propagated or who became popular, but who are following the process very, very carefully. So known devotees, unknown devotees, both will ultimately reach the same destination.
Temples of Lord Shiva. Mm-hmm. We also then visited Durga Devi's temple.
Yes.
What was the purpose of this visit to the temple's temple?
Who is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is Krishna's expansion. It's one expansion. And Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And in these temples, big temples, some of these devotees to Krishna consciousness. Because sometimes question comes, somebody says, why shouldn't we worship Lord Shiva? Why Krishna? This question is always there, isn't it? Even today people ask the question. Yesterday also should have to be there sometimes. It's not that it's a competition between gods to get more disciples or devotees. That's not what it is all meant for. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is reference to these things in detail. Who should worship and whom should you worship? This question is always there. That for various reasons, particularly, when one is under the lower modes of nature, when one is under the lower modes of nature, there are three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, sattvam, rajas and tamas. Those who are addicted to the lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance, they should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Why? Krishna is being. They will be able to overcome, because what does liberation mean? Liberation means coming out of these lower modes of nature. This is what liberation means ultimately. And that is only possible when one takes to the shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Nobody else can do that. And that is why if you have reached a level of life in spiritual life, even if you worship Lord Shiva, you will not, anything will happen to you. But those who are under the lower modes of nature, if they worship the demigods, it is a possibility that they will fall down in their life. And that's why sometimes you find, sometimes the devotees of Lord Shiva, they claim to be the devotees, but their actions do not prove that. They are addicted to so many... yes, drugs and... Ganja and all, they claimed themselves to be devotees. Why? Because the manas samskar wasn't there when they went to Lord Shiva. In the Bhagavatam, there are two stories. One, the story of Arjuna, one character, who had that such a high degree of culture in him. He worshipped Lord Shiva, nothing happened to him. And there is another Vrugasura story, the next chapter itself, a demon by nature. He asked Narada Muni, whom should I worship? Narada Muni, seeing his attitude, told him, go and worship Lord Shiva, he said. And he wanted immediate reaction. The result was that, you can see when you come to Bhagavatam, you will see that. He reached up to Vaikuntha and Krishna sent him back. He wasn't there inside to worship, qualify for Lord Shiva, to worship him.
So that's what it is. Those who are under the lower modes of nature, they should worship only Krishna, nobody else, not even the four-handed form of Vishnu. It says that Edecha Amshagara Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna form alone should be worshipped, not any other form. That is the Bhagavadam conclusion.
Second question is, when this Brahmana was distressed that why Ravana abducted Sita,
yeah.
He was very much wanting to know.
Yeah. Easier for Brahmana to accept that when the Shastra says like this, because Shastras are meant for this, that those who have difficulty in understanding and accepting things, Shastras, but at least they have the faith in the Shastra. We are now asking questions about Shastra also. We don't even ask that to accept that either. So we are in a much more awkward situation. That for us, everything is doubt from beginning to end. And Mahaprabhu, when discussing this in Benares with Prakashananda Saraswati, he said this to him, why one has so many doubts? Do you know why? It is due to sinful life. Sinful life is the cause that why we have so much doubt about everything. Now you can't trust anybody, you can't trust, even Bhagavad Gita will take in the hand and still check, as Krishna has really spoken this verse or somebody else has spoken, did Vedavyas add something to it? Like this, our mind goes into all sorts of, and we'll never get an answer also. Whole life you'll be spending on this research process. We never come to know what is ultimate answer. But this was not their consciousness. These Brahmanas had complete conviction in the Shastra. So it was easier to convince him through the Kormogranam. He was willing to accept that easily. So he had no doubt after that.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to so many impersonalists at that point of time, mm-hmm. and he brought their faith back to Krishna. But will you discuss this in other classes, or will you just skip that part?
I think we'll have to skip, because next Sunday we have something else to talk about. And then someday when we finish Srimad Bhagavatam, we will talk about it later. Okay, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava.
Jaya Kunjavi.